Welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Sports Huddle on SEMO ESPN Radio, 1220 AM, 93.5 FM. And you can always find us online. We're at SEMOESPN.com. Eric Shawn and Missouri Sports Hall of Famer Jess Bolin inviting you to join us in the huddle. Here is the huddle hotline number powered by EBOMD 573-334-1220, 573-334-1220, our EBOMD huddle hotline. Jess Bolin in the house. We're going to be able to, I guess, have no doubt, just going to try to dodge rain showers over the next 48 hours or so.
Yeah, it's misty raining right now. And to get right to it, that's the way you beat an ace. Cards beat Wheeler last night. And the way you do that, we talked about it on the show, you just have to hold the other team. He pitched well enough to win. Wheeler did. But Sonny Gray pitched better. And somewhere along the way, even the aces give up homers. And I talked about that yesterday. Somebody may hit a home run off of him, solo homer. But he would probably beat the Cardinals. Cardinals got some timely things last night. Three double plays. A couple of them that really needed it. Really, well, the pitch that he goes out on, Sonny Gray, on the 64th pitch, was a double play ball. And that's what he needed at that time. I thought Victor Scott got his first RBI. And if I told you, Eric, that Bobby Witt, Trey Turner, De La Cruz were all second in speed to someone else, be hard to believe, wouldn't it? Victor Scott's the fastest man in the major leagues on sprint speed. Flashed that on the board last night. 30.4 feet a second. The other three are right there, you know, Witt and Turner, De La Cruz, all 30 feet a second. That's getting it done. That's blazing speed.
And De La Cruz is 6'5".
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, he is the fastest man in the major leagues by that. And last night he did get a sack fly. He's battling at the plate. He's just not getting many hits. And but boy, he's a – I tell you who's a guy that's really impressive. The guy I picked to win Rookie of the Year, Mason Wynn, is opening people's eyes every game. And last night he made a play unbelievable on Turner. But Turner's speed, you just can't get him, you know, to his right. But he's Cards leading the major leagues in double plays. Got 14 double plays for the year. Astros got 12. So, of course, you can say that's not a good thing. These runners on base all the time. But Mason Wynn and Gorman are getting where they work pretty good together. That's what you got to have. You got to have that up the middle. So, good ball game. Cards won, but what can you do today? You know, if you can go out there and play a good game today and beat Aaron Nola. Goldschmidt struck out three times last night. Arenado looked weak at the plate. They're not going to win. I mean, they won with kids last night. Gorman, he's still a young man. He homered. Mason Wynn got on base and scored a run. Scott drove in one.
Donovan drove in one.
Donovan did with a little grounder at first. But they're going to have to get, you know, Contreras, Goldschmidt, Arenado in the mix. And simple as that. Contreras got a base hit last night. So, you know, you can't fault him. He's doing okay. Do you know Nolan Gorman has hit more multiple home run games than anybody in Cardinal history at his age? Seven times he's had multiple homers in one game. Closest is Albert Pujols with six. That's awful young to have that record, don't you think? It's going to be something that he's going to put up more.
And it was Gorman. All they needed was this in the scoreless fourth inning. Zach Wheeler, Nolan Gorman.
First the 2-1 pitch. Launch towards center. Rojas going back as far as he can go. It's 1-0.
A 419-foot shot to center field. Again, with Gorman letting the ball travel, going the other way. Third homer of the season. Boy, that one looked good.
So you got Nolan Gorman, and that's all the Cardinals needed. Now, they added two.
You had a feeling they needed more. But I was impressed last night with the Cardinals youngsters. I love young ball players, you know that. And Mason Wynn leads all first-year players in batting average right now. You wouldn't have thought that going in, and he probably won't. You know, he won't be the kind of hitter he is right now probably all year. They'll figure him out. But
it'll just depend on...
Can he adjust?
What adjustments he's going to make when the book starts traveling around the big leagues. The scouting report on how to pitch to
and
win.
Usually it's something as simple as go the other way. They're going to start getting you out on low outside pitches. Do you continue to roll over on them, or are you going to try to understand that's the way they're going after you and hit the ball the other way? I think he will. I think he's a smart young man. But we'll see. You know, his feeling is unbelievable. I don't know. Have the Cardinals made an error yet? Two or three games ago, they said the Cardinals are one of two teams that have not made an error, and I don't remember any errors. They didn't make any last night. So I don't know how you would find that out, but they may be errorless for the season still yet. But that's a game last night. The Cardinals,
they have three errors.
Cardinals have three?
Yeah.
Wow.
They Gorman, Donovan, Wynn all have errors.
Well, Wynn, most of the time, I can tell you, his is going to be throwing errors.
So last night you get not just the home run from Gorman, he had two hits. Burleson, two hits. Mason Wynn, another hit. Victor Scott, the sack fly. And right now, the Cardinals defensively are better than they were last year. At least they're playing better right now. And with a pitch-to-contact pitching staff, that's going to be big.
Yeah, and Mason Wynn is a big part of that. He's going to get errors on balls that he gets to that no one else would get to. You know, when you get to a ball, you got the kind of arm he's got, and it makes a bad throw, then you have to throw in the mix, would he have been out if it had been a good throw? Even though it was a great stop and it's maybe a ball that someone else won't get to, you still are judged by the finish of that play. So he's going to get to some balls and then make a bad throw and get some errors like that. You know, in a rule book, it does not say anything about touching the ball or anything else. It says handling the play with reasonable effort. Well, it's not reasonable to expect a guy to go six steps to his right at shortstop and then throw somebody out. That's not reasonable. This doesn't happen. But a ground ball right to you, you feel it cleanly, you throw bad to first, then that's reasonable effort. You should have got him. So that's the way the scoring goes.
Oliver Marmol, what did you think of what you saw on the mound last night?
Yeah, we went through a couple different scenarios. If pitch count got high early, specifically the first inning, what that would look like and how we wanted to progress through that. And we talked about what if he gives us five innings and keeps it under 65. And he did exactly that.
What's the conversation like with him before that last at bat in the fifth? Really?
Making sure he was good with one more hitter there, knowing that that was going to be his last guy. And he did exactly what he wanted, ran the sinker in there, got the ground ball double play. That was a big pitch. What he did today was pretty incredible. And there's a lot to be excited about with having him healthy again, because he hasn't pitched in front of a crowd in a while, and to go out there and control his overall emotions and not try to do too much. He was under control the whole time, landed six pitches for strikes. That was pretty dominant. It was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah.
You mentioned he hadn't pitched in 36 days in an actual game. Did it feel like he kind of willed himself through that?
I'm not sure people understand how difficult that is to go out there after not pitching in front of a crowd or a real game and to control your overall emotions, not try to do too much. I mean, he was completely under control every pitch. It was good.
It's 3 years, $75 million, the contract that they gave Sonny Gray. And we were talking yesterday on the show, don't you think he should at least get one start in the minor leagues prior to making a big league start? And the Cardinals, I'm sure, debated it and decided get the outs at the major league level rather than get the outs at the minor league level. And
well,
it worked out.
Post-game interview with Sonny Gray, that's one of the questions that came up. And he said, well, I just feel more comfortable here. I thought my arm was in the position to be able to go out there and do it. Why not do it here? He said, it's great atmosphere and all that, you know. And he said, we had a talk. And kind of, this is going to go viral probably. He said, I told Marmol that don't let me do something stupid out there, you know. And he said, what I mean is talk you out of taking me out. Don't let me do something like that. I don't want to do anything stupid tonight. He said that a couple of times, and they ran with that on the rest of the post-game show. So you'll see T-shirts probably, don't let me do something stupid.
Here's Sonny Gray after his performance last night.
It was fun. I just felt at home, to be honest with you. I felt more calm, cool, collected, confident today than I probably have in any of the rehab outings, Sims, lives. It just felt at home. So it was good. It was fun as well, but it was just felt good.
So you got that double play at the end. Prior to that, Ollie walks out. There was no way you were coming out, right?
So we had just talked after the fourth, and it was kind of just like, hey, like, don't let me do anything stupid here. Like, I know I feel great. The ball's coming out good. I know the game situation, the way the game is playing out. I was like, I want to stay in as long as I can. It's like, just, we had a plan. Just don't let me do anything stupid. Don't let me talk you some type of way to do something stupid that, you know, we had a plan, so let's stay with it. He said, you want me to call it now? And I said, how many pitches did I throw? And he said, 53. And I said, no, let me go have a quick one. So he did, and he came out after the two singles. And, you know, I didn't know. And he came out, and he said, how you feel? This is your guy. And I was like, absolutely it is. And, you know, it worked. I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. They're going to hit it. He's going to hit a ground ball. We're going to turn double play, and we're going to get out of this inning. And two pitches later, that's what happened. And, yeah, it was fun.
Sonny Gray, after his start last night. And if you watch the interview, he's wearing a red hat with the number 45 on it. He honored Bob Gibson by wearing that hat. And, Jess, he chose the number 54 to wear on his Cardinal jersey because that is Bob Gibson's number flip-flopped.
Yeah.
Because obviously 45 is retired in St. Louis, so he went with 54.
Honestly, I didn't know what the 45 meant that he was wearing. I didn't know until you just said it, but that's good if you are really a historian in the game and realize that you're not the one that invented the game. You're just going to add to it. And I get that feeling with him, don't you? It's not like he's the big savior or anything like that. But you know, I talked about this yesterday and before that, you know, when I was managing, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your reputation is. It's good. I'll respect it. But I tell you what, in athletes, too much respect for someone else turns into fear. you can respect what they've done in the game and with their ability, but just like I said, today you're pitching against me. You're going to get beat today. I think that's the way you have to feel about things. And the way you do that is you put up zeros until your team can respond to the outstanding performance that someone else has given on the mound, like Wheeler did. Wheeler was good, like he always is. But he didn't have any runs to work with. Every pitch was a pressure pitch. And Gorman got him for a home run. You have to, and that's why pitching is so important. We talk about this consistently. The teams that got the outstanding pitching are the ones that's playing in October, and more times than not. I mean, you can't have an outstanding hitting ball club and maybe carry a team into the playoffs, but then that's it. You don't go any further than just being in the playoffs. You lose the first round and go home. So if you had to say you had a couple more Sonny Grays on that team, I said a long time ago that I didn't think that Sonny Gray was an ace. Well, he said would be a great number two guy. But last night, he looked like an ace. And it's amazing. That one pitch he's got, Eric, the super spin on that, they call it a
sweeper.
Sweeper now. It's just a modified, increased slider to me. But it's a good pitch. I mean, he gets a lot of swings and misses on that pitch.
Last year, of every pitcher and every pitch that they threw, the lowest batting average against any pitcher's individual pitch was Sonny Gray's sweeper. Every pitcher, every pitch in Major League Baseball, they chart everything in baseball. The lowest batting average allowed by a pitcher on a pitch was a sweeper from Sonny Gray. It is an elite pitch.
It is. And they had the rotation, the spin on the board. It's not close. His spin rate is not close to who's second. And how he developed that pitch, I don't know. A lot of times it's hand size, strength of fingers. All these things go into getting that wrist, you know, your drive off the mound. All these things go into how you become a really great pitcher on a certain pitch.
Spider tack. No, he's not. They're checking for sicky stuff. So, Sonny Gray, that was very encouraging. I wonder what his pitch count will be. I wonder if he'll be on a pitch count next time out. Maybe.
Probably.
They're going to have to see how does the hamstring feel today.
Exactly.
Because with the adrenaline pumping, okay, yesterday. And the adrenaline was pumping. He is a fierce competitor. Knowing so much about how he gets locked in a certain competitive mindset is why he had to tell Oliver Marmol, don't let me do anything stupid. He's a competitor.
Yeah.
So.
He understands the game.
How does the hamstring feel today? It's the third time in his career he's had to go on the injured list because of a hamstring. So.
Well, Marmol said something else in his postgame that Ricky Harton really ran with. When Marmol said, when they discussed him pitching in the rehab game in Memphis or starting up here, that he said Sonny Gray told him that he felt really strongly that he could pitch up here and give him a job. And he said he talked me into it and said the things that, and I believed him. He said, I trust him. And so those things that Ricky Harton went with, you know, and you can see that. Now, he's not going to do that every game. He's going to go out there and get knocked out in the first three innings some games. That's baseball. But are you good more times than you're not? And he will be that. And I look at a pitcher like him. He's certainly not an old guy. I think he's around 32 maybe. But he probably won early in his career for his just overall stuff. But now he's a pitcher. He understands the pitch sequence. He knows what each hitter has to do. They go over very well before the game. But he actually does it on the mound. And last night you could see the respect that the other starters like Mats, Miles Michaelis, these guys gave him in the dugout. Each one of them was wanting to talk to him, and it looked like they were more asking information, asking him questions than it was congratulatory. So it's a guy that you need. A stopper, when they call a stopper, that's a guy that when you're on a losing streak, say you win, lose three in a row, he's a guy out there and puts a stop to that and gets you back on a winning track. And it looks to me like he possibly could be a guy like that with the Cards. That's very, very important.
Something else that's important, you look out, you see what the Cardinal bullpen did last night. And Ryan Helsley pitching on back-to-back days. So
yeah, hitting 102.
And you would think, okay, he's obviously unavailable today. But JoJo Romero got out of a big spot with the bases loaded, struck out Kyle Schwarber on a good tailing fastball. You got Liberatore, Andrew Kittredge, JoJo Romero, Ryan Helsley. One thing, Jess, if you look at the St. Louis bullpen last year, they were all young guys, young kids in that bullpen. This year, they've got a guy who's been through the wars. Andrew Kittredge is 34 years old, former All-Star.
Tommy John surgery.
Right. He has been through it all, and he's a guy who it will be a calming influence out in that bullpen for all those young kids. I understand. Helsley's still young. You know, now Gallegos is a veteran, but you look at Liberatore and JoJo Romero. These guys are young in their major league careers.
Thompson.
Kittredge is not.
Palante.
Kittredge is not.
No,
he's a veteran guy.
You're exactly right on being a calming influence because he is. It doesn't look like anything bothers him. If you sit down and had a cup of coffee with him, you may ask him two questions to get one answer. That kind of guy. And then he's popping 95 miles an hour with that real deliberately slow wind up. And then all, once the ball explodes, I batted against guys like that. I hate them. They warm up so slow, it don't look like they're going to be able to follow through with the pitch, and then all at once it's 95 miles an hour. And he's that guy. And I tell you what, he's got that slider's pretty good. So Kittredge is going to be a guy I think Marmol will really depend on more than even JoJo White. JoJo White was good for the Cardinals last year. He has no reason not to be good this year.
Okay. Before we head to the EBOMD huddle hotline, you've got long ball Lance Lynn on the mound today against the powerful Phillies and Aaron Nola. What is the over under today on if I set the home runs allowed by Lance Lynn at 1.5? Are you going over or under?
I'll go over.
I'll go over too.
I think he'll give up a couple.
And my next question is. Does Schwarber hit a leadoff home run today against Lance Lynn?
No.
Okay.
No, he's done that a lot.
Just want to check it out.
But
and by the way, 26 minutes ago, they put the tarp on Busch Stadium. Just letting you know where we stand.
They took it off this morning then because it was on in post game.
12:15. First pitch.
I don't think Lynn will shut them down, but he might hold them to solo homers, a couple of them. And if that's the case, the Cards last night, they beat a good but good pitcher, maybe one of the five best in the National League. Wouldn't you say he's probably in that case, at least five in the National League?
Listen, Wheeler? There are a lot of people that work in Major League Baseball nowadays, and we do too, your preseason predictions. There are several people that said, I think Zach Wheeler is going to win the Cy Young in the National League. I mean, that's how elite he is.
For a young team, and you got to include Burleson in that young group because he's a little older, I think, but he's young as far as experience in the big leagues. These kids to go out and beat a guy like Wheeler, I think elevates their confidence in a day like today with Nola. because they know they can beat a good pitcher, and they know what it takes to beat a good pitcher. Remain close. You can't give a guy like Nola a four-run lead today, for instance. He'll eat you up.
Here's the difference. Okay, Zach Wheeler just signed a three-year extension with the Phillies for $126 million. Sonny Gray, 3 years, 75. But you don't give a guy a three-year deal for $126 million where he's making $42 million for the next 3 years if you don't believe he's elite. And he's proven not only is he elite in the regular season, he is elite in the postseason when it matters most. That's who you beat yesterday.
Yeah. And Nola's...
And that's a big-time offense that the Cardinals pitchers shut out.
I'm kind of amazed at the lack of success. They've really pinned down Harper and Schwarber.
Which makes you nervous about today.
It sure does. If you could somehow stumble through a victory today over the Phillies, that would be your third straight winning series, which doesn't mean a lot because you're taking two out of three. You're only gaining one game.
It may get you out of last place where they are still.
Well, it may get you over 500. That's the big thing to me. To me, you can't do anything and don't talk to me about how good you are or anything else until you get to 500. You could have a good team and be 500. There could be circumstances that kept you from winning some close games. Like last night, Kittredge has two men on base. How they got on base was a flare that just nobody could get to down the left field. And then another was a dribbler that Gorman was playing up the middle and couldn't get to it. It just wasn't even going to hit the outfield grass, maybe. So circumstances can keep you from winning or enhance your chances to win. And so you never know.
2006, 83-78 was the Cardinals' record.
Yeah. And wound up winning a world title. And in 2004, Cardinals were clearly better than the Boston Red Sox.
105 wins.
Yeah, clearly better. And lost that World Series.
Did you see yesterday that they honored the 2004 team in Boston?
I was watching the game.
And then Tyler O'Neill stepped up
number
in the first
six.
Inning and hit his major league leading sixth home run. He hit it against Corbin Burns. That's all Burns gave up.
Yeah.
They lost. Burns was outstanding
he
again.
He was. Like I said, I watched the game.
For O'Neill, it's six home runs and six RBIs. six solo homers. I don't care that it's only solo home runs. At some point, they're going to get guys on in front of him. But O'Neill, the major league home run leader, the major league RBI leader, by the way, Jess.
Garcia?
Yes. Plays in
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out.
Well, yeah, the Cards got all-stars.
The home run and the RBI leaders, former Cardinals.
They've got all-stars all over the league.
Yeah.
But let me give you some advice about young players. Don't give up on Mason Wynn and Victor Scott. Those two guys could be signatures in St. Louis for a decade and a half. Those two guys can play, Eric. They can play. They're going to need a little time to develop, know what they have to do in the big leagues. But when you see Victor Scott and his approach at the plate, never even played Triple-A ball, and I know he's not got a lot of hits, but last night he hung in there and got a sack fly. Barely a sack fly, but barely deep enough. And Mason Wynn is playing outstanding baseball. If he even slides down the ladder a little bit on his ability to make plays and his ability to hit right now, you expect that. You expect it. Just don't give up on him. And the Cards have been known to get rid of some pretty good talent. And don't let that be one of them, Victor Scott or Mason Wynn.
Jordan Walker out of the lineup last night. Burleson was in right field.
He may go to the minors.
And now Burleson with two hits. Doesn't he have to be back in there today against Nola?
Absolutely. Absolutely he has to be back in there. You're trying to win, Eric. That's the bottom line. You're trying to win, and Burleson gives you a better chance at the plate at this moment than Jordan Walker. I think Jordan Walker, it's going to open some eyes if they send him down, but don't be surprised if they do. Just to get his swing back. It's hard deal to try to win ball games in the big leagues and try to bring guys through rehab and stuff like that. You know, they're not themselves. Just like Nootbaar. He came up. He thought he was ready. Carson, you don't look like it. Go down the minor leagues a little bit more.
Nootbaar, 1-for-3 last night for Springfield. He had a single, 110 miles an hour off the bat.
He probably will be in, I'd say he'd be on the roster maybe today even. If the weather's better down in Memphis and...
Well, he was in Springfield.
Unlikely here. Okay, Springfield, I don't care where he's at. If it's better in that area than it is in St. Louis and more likely to play, they may leave him down there even though they was going to put him on the roster just in the fear that this game in St. Louis could be rained out or the conditions are not good for a guy rehabbing in the cold, damp weather.
Well, he'll be good if Burleson's in right. He won't have to worry about colliding with the right fielder. you taking calls?
I'd love to have calls.
And again, to reiterate the quote from Sonny Gray, I felt calm, cool, collected, confident.
Four C's.
Little alliteration there from our guy.
Four C's, isn't it?
Sonny Gray.
Calm, cool, collected, and confident.
We are... headed to the EBOMD Huddle Hotline. Mike is on the line. Mike, thanks for the call. Welcome into the huddle.
Good morning again, guys.
Morning.
I think Lynn gives up 3 home runs, but it's like you said, Jess, as long as there's nobody on base, I think you can live with that. If you give up 2 home runs or 3, you know, I think you can live with that as long as it's solo shots. And did you see opening day they were talking to Ozzie Smith, Jim Hayes was? And he tried to get him to talk about Mason Wynn. Did you hear Ozzie's response?
He said,
just let the kid play ball. Don't compare him to anybody. Don't talk about how good he's going to be.
Hold on. We've got to call him.
Just watch him play ball and progress. And that's the best advice you can give anybody about watching this kid play ball. Do we think he's going to be great? Sure we do. Do we think he's going to be a superstar? I think he's got that potential. But don't put that on him too early. Let him progress, play ball, and do it the way he can do it.
I don't think they're putting pressure on him, Jess. First of all, they're batting him 8th. And they're running him out there. And every day you got Brandon Crawford in his ear in the dugout, Ozzie Smith. You know, is one of his guys.
Idol.
Yeah, so.
I'm not talking about the Cardinals putting. Ozzie's talking about everybody around, the fans, the press, the media, you know.
No, you're never going to stop that, Mike.
You're
never
going to
stop the media,
man,
and the fans.
This kid, I think he's got superstar written all over him, Jess. And as long as he doesn't get hurt. I just think he's got superstar written all over him. And Sonny Gray last night, I think if they keep him on a pitch count, I'm thinking, what do you think, 75 for the next outing?
I think it may kick up to 80.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. And if he would have not been on that 65 count pitch count last night, he could have went into the 6th inning. And, you know, what have we talked about in the past? Sonny Gray has been mainly a 5-inning pitcher. Maybe he's found something that his pitches, he can command his pitches better. Maybe he can get into the 6th inning. Maybe he can go into the 7th inning as long as he's got command and good command of his pitches.
No, if he's 100% healthy, there's no doubt he goes into the 6th and maybe the 7th last night when – 64
yep.
pitches and completed 5 innings. You know, if he's healthy 100%, he's not going to come out of the game nowhere near 65 pitches.
No,
so,
and he looked comfortable. He looked like he was throwing without, you know, any stress, any kind of discomfort. He looked comfortable on the mound, and that's a lot of what you look at too, is how stressful are the pitches. You know, how much is he laboring? He didn't labor at all with his pitches last night, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, and you talk about Mason Wynn. The Cards showed a whopping amount of confidence in him, letting him bat with 2 outs in the 9th.
Yes.
in a game where they needed a base hit to tie the game and let him bat. That kind of surprised me they did that because they had left-handed hitters on the bench, and one of them being Crawford. But they let him do it, and he come through with a base hit. And that kind of stuff really has a lot of effect on young athletes.
Yes, it does.
What did you guys think of the home plate umpire last night, Alex McKay? Because he did not grade out very high.
I didn't think he's very good. I think it seemed to me, and Wheeler really had a problem with him, that he really wasn't giving Wheeler the balls and strikes count on pitches that Wheeler usually gets that call. Because they're clipping the box. And you take a good pitcher, a great pitcher like Wheeler, at least he is on this level right now, you got to have that pitch. If you took the corners and 6 inches off the corners from Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz back down in Atlanta, they wouldn't have been as good as they are.
Nope.
As good as they were.
The overall accuracy on the grade out last night for Alex McKay, 90%. The league average is 92, so he was not where he needed to be. 9 of the 94 pitches he called balls were indeed strikes. And 4 of the 39 pitches he called strikes were not strikes. So he graded out 90% called ball accuracy, 90% called strike. And his overall consistency, the major league average is 95%. McKay last night, 87%. So tough night at the office for McKay.
Yeah. And in other words, he didn't give the borderline pitch the pitchers as much as he should have.
And I said it before the season started, and I'm going to reiterate it again. Matt is going to be good this year. I know it's only 2 games that he's pitched, but Steven Matz looks like he's found something. And as long as he doesn't get hurt, and as long as he can keep in mind what he's found and not lose it, I think Matz is going to be a very good pitcher this year.
Well, he's had 2 solid starts, so we will keep an eye on Steven Matz, who is next scheduled to go to the mound Friday. Remember,
Friday
it's an
night.
Off day tomorrow. They will head to Arizona and Oakland. And he will match up with Arizona. That's going to be an 8:40 game. Brandon Pfaadt, who did not have a good regular season but had a good postseason, will be the guy who matches up with on a Friday.
See, these are 2 teams you've got to go out there and you've got to beat. I mean, you have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You cannot lose to them.
Well, I don't know if the Cardinals are supposed to beat Arizona. I mean, you know, the Cardinals are an improved team, I think, but
yeah,
the Diamondbacks are a little better than the Cardinals.
They're the National League champs.
Yeah.
I still think you go out and you beat Arizona and you beat Oakland.
You got to sweep Oakland. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hang on the EBOMD Huddle Hotline. Let's head back to the Huddle Hotline where Dave is on the line. Dave, thanks for the call. Welcome into the huddle.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Fantastic. Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, real quick on the Cardinals. Just my opinion, but they fired the wrong manager. I mean, they need to fire the one they got right now and get. I mean, they ain't going to bring Schilt back, but he had them all going in the right direction. And now I think it's John Mozeliak's the manager now, and he's not doing a very good job. But that's my opinion.
What do you guys make of this? Okay, last night. This is the number of tickets that were sold for the game, 31,972. That is the fewest paid amount of tickets in the history of that ballpark since it opened in 2006 for a night game. We're not talking about COVID, when you couldn't come out, and then they started limited crowds. It is the smallest paid ticket crowd for a night game since 06. And it's the smallest crowd for any game since June of 2022. Any theories on that, guys?
Well, for one, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Jess. You're the boss.
No, I'm not the boss. Whoever Whoever calls in the show, they're the boss for what time they want to talk. So you go ahead.
I'm giving you permission. I'm giving you permission. You go ahead.
Well, a couple of things on the attendance. 32,000. It kind of mystifies me how you can sell as many season tickets there are, but still then you talk about the attendance. Tickets sold or season tickets also, they're sold. I don't know about that, but I don't care either. But the attendance always is weaker until school is out.
But we're
I know what you're talking about.
We're talking about since the ballpark opened in 06, there's been 1,000 night games, and this is the smallest ticket sale ball game since they opened
the stadium. See why? I mean, is it not evident why it would be? You're a last place team. Why should you be drawing 50,000 people there for last place team on a weeknight where school's the next day?
Do you agree, Dave? You got another theory?
Yeah. Well, I got some other ones, but you don't want to hear those.
Yeah, we do. But as long as you're not going to cuss us.
I mean, it's just like this. Okay, on this show, we were talking about opening day. We gave you the festivities, everything, and I said, what do you think the reception is going to be like when they introduce John Mozeliak? And I said, he's going to get booed pretty hard. He got booed very loudly, and now the fans are booing again by only selling 31,000 tickets last night. Dave, is there a correlation there?
Well, of course. They don't, and I'll take it a step further. I'm not a Bill DeWitt fan at all. I don't like a lot of the stuff he's doing, and I don't want to get off in the weeds in politics, but there's a lot of things that he's done over the last couple of years that I think a lot of fans are paying more attention than what they think they are. And he's doing a lot, they're doing a lot of stuff off in politics that, I mean, we just don't want that in our sports. You know what I mean? Leave it out. Let's just play baseball and have fun, and that's what people want to do.
All right.
And make it a family atmosphere.
Over, under. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I talk about John Calipari for just a second?
You bet. He is being introduced this morning at the University of Arkansas, by the way. Made it official yesterday, stepped down to Kentucky.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'm a big Kentucky fan, and I watch them. I watch every game they play, my son and I do. And I'm sorry, he's not a good X's and O's coach. He's very good at recruiting. But if you're a good coach, let me ask you something, Jess. You've been coaching sports for years. Do you start your best players?
I always did.
Well, he does not. And, I mean, every game we started five guys that we would get down 8-2, 10-2, 12-4, and then he'd call timeout and put the best team in. And then we'd catch up. Every game. You start your best five players. I mean, you just do. And you know that. I mean, you get off on the best footing that way for the game. He doesn't do that. And I can't tell you how many times I watched games this year where they had a guy that was red hot because they were loaded. Kentucky was loaded. And you'd have a guy that was just burning it up. He'd hit four or five shots in a row. They'd call timeout. You'd come back from the timeout from the commercial break. He'd set that guy down. You don't set a guy down when he's hot in basketball. That's the worst time to set him down. You leave him in and let him burn it up as long as he's on that streak. I mean, if you got a guy that's going 3-for-3 in the baseball game, you don't pinch hit for him. But he did over and over and over this year. He started. He had 3 7-footers. He could not figure out that all three of them were pretty doggone good. And you play the hot hand that game. He couldn't figure that out. He always played the guy that was playing the worst, got the most playing time. And I don't understand it.
Well, they were peaking. They were peaking right at the NCAA tournament. They went 7-1 in their final 8 games before and knocked off Tennessee and then lost to A&M in the SEC tournament. And the only reason they went out in the first round is you got a guy named Jack Golke who hit 10 freaking three-pointers, some of them from the parking lot. If one or two of those three-pointers don't go in, Kentucky's probably going to the Sweet 16. There were people picking Kentucky because of how well they were playing and how well they were scoring. to potentially win a national championship. So it took a Herculean effort from Oakland. A guy hits 10 three-pointers to knock them out. I think with the and there are multiple reports that he's got a $5 million NIL pool that he'll be recruiting from each year, and if they see more success, those billionaires, Tyson Chicken, Walmart, the Walton family, heck, their basketball arenas, Bud Walton Arena, they're going to get more money. He's going to put Arkansas back on the basketball map. Not that they were banished. I mean, you're talking about Sweet 16s and Elite Eights under Eric Musselman before he went to USC, but they'll win at a higher level. And it was time. I mean, you heard Calipari yesterday, Dave. Kentucky needs a new voice, and he agreed. Yeah,
they do. But I'll say this about the losing to Oakland in the first round. That kid was red hot. But through all that, hitting 10 three-pointers and all the things that Oakland did, they played way above their head that game, and it was awesome to watch it. But Kentucky wins that game if they just do some things that are basic. They missed four layups in that game, and one of them was a dunk, a wide-open dunk, which one of the players that Calipari really fell in love with was Justin Edwards. The kid's 6'8", and he missed five dunks this year.
When Calipari drew up the plays on the whiteboard, he did not say, okay, we're going to get you open for a layup, miss it.
Well, I understand, he's got the wrong player in when those things happen. That's what I'm saying.
Well, who's going to be Kentucky's new coach? Is it going to be Bruce Pearl? Billy Donovan kind of tamped down. I mean, are they going to go strong after Scott Drew? Does he want the pressure cooker? Mick Cronin, Nate Oates already came out publicly on social media and said that he's committed to the University of Alabama. Some people are saying Rick Pitino. Doubt that happens. What do you think?
I would take any of those guys. I mean, I really would. But, I mean, I love Pitino. I love that guy from Baylor. Bruce Pearl, well, you can't say enough good things about him. He takes a lot less talent and does a lot more with it.
I think Bruce Pearl would win big at Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, he's really a great coach, and I think all the SEC coaches are really good. I think Calipari is the best recruiter, but the weakest coach.
Well, we'll see what he does at Arkansas. Right now, the word in Lexington is decommit, decommit. We'll see how many of those guys that he was recruiting or current Kentucky guys, one announced for the draft yesterday, end up going down to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Dave, always appreciate you checking in. Thanks for the phone call.
You bet.
All right. That is Dave. Not happy about the way Kentucky's season ended, Jess, but he's happy that they're going to get a new coach. He was done with Calipari, and there are a lot of Kentucky fans that just were. Arkansas is opening him with open arms. I think he's going to win big at Arkansas, but we'll see.
Well, you know, the bottom line is X's and O's in today's world is probably down the line as far as importance. If you got the right people, here's the thing to remember. Athletes know how to play the game. Would you agree to that? By the time you get in college, especially second or third year, you know how to play the game. You understand? Or you wouldn't have gotten that far. So X and O's might be down the list as far as importance against recruiting your coaching staff instead of just you. Believe me, there's personalized coaches for these individual players. For instance, a big man, big rebounder is going to be in the game. He may have one assistant coach to handle that guy. And then they got their input on who they'd like to see in the lineup just as well as you do. So the mistakes in a basketball game or any other game are critical, of course. But I don't know that Calipari is not qualified to coach a team, as far as his knowledge of the game and handling the game. Maybe he doesn't do as good a job as some people, but maybe, like I said, he's a better recruiter.
Did
Did you, man, my microphone button's sticking today. Did you know that the national championship game for the women outdrew the men? Talk about it when we come back. And big win for SEMO baseball. They hadn't won in Carbondale since Mark Hogan was the coach. Sports Huddle coming right back. Sports Huddle, SEMO, ESPN Radio, 1220 AM, 93.5 FM. And you can always find us online, SEMOESPN.com. Eric Sean and the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, Jess Bolin, 1215 first pitch, Lance Lynn, Aaron Nola, as they wrap the series at Busch. Cards off tomorrow, start a six-game road trip in Arizona on Friday night. Jess, the SEMO baseball team went to Carbondale last night. They had not beaten the Salukis in Carbondale since 2011. So that means Mark Hogan was still the head coach. Steve Beezer and Lance Rhodes together never won a game in Carbondale. And this is year 8 for Andy Sawyers. And it's been 13 years. And finally, 11 innings, 3-2, Red Hawks beat them.
Well, I think I've been at every game that they lost, because I don't ever miss a game at Carbondale. I did last night, but the first game I missed in at least a decade playing over there. So I'm fully aware of the troubles that Southeast has had over there, and they played a good ball game last night, come away with a 3-2 victory in 11 innings. So, you know, that's big, Eric. They're trying to get back to 500. So I think they're a game under now, right?
That's correct. 16-17.
Three-game homestand coming up. So that game, I think, sets you up well for this weekend. You know, if you don't win that game last night, you're 3 under 500 again. And this team's better than that.
SEMO used 6 pitchers last night. And just the only runs for SIU, they got 3 hits and 2 runs in the third inning. And then Tommy went and got the final 2 outs of that inning. From the time they got the hit until the top of the 11th, remember they got the 2 runs in the third, SEMO pitching retired 23 consecutive Salukis from the third inning to the 11th. When the first 2 guys got hits, they couldn't get the bunt down, and they could not tie the game, and the Red Hawks won it. After the game, I've packed up my stuff. Don Sean went and rolling it out, and here comes Lance Rhodes out of the clubhouse. You know, I'm always the last person to leave. He's popped out of the clubhouse, so we talked for about 10 minutes. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. You know, I've seen him come out of when we're playing SEMO or when we're playing SIU. I see him come out of the dugout, make pitching changes, things like that, but haven't really had a chance to talk to him. And so he was lamenting, they got a couple of injuries and they really haven't been playing well offensively. You know how coaches are after a loss. And then I said, okay, you know, I thought it was interesting. You made pitching changes twice in the middle of an at bat. Once, when the pitcher was ahead 1-2, he came out and made a pitching change. This is closer. And he said his velo was down, and I didn't like what I was seeing. And then with the bases loaded in the 11th inning, Brooks Koettering was at the plate. He was ahead 3-1. And the guy who was on the mound had more walks than innings pitched. He went out and took that guy out in a 3-1 count. And the guy brought in, first pitch ball, go-ahead run, comes in, and it turned out to be the winning run. And he told me, I've done that a lot. I mean, the guy, there's a reason I brought those particular guys in. And the guy that I brought in when the count was 3-1, he's a strike thrower. He can hit it about 98 miles an hour. I figured he'd, boom, pop a fastball in there. Then it'd be 3-2. And he said, I didn't like the decrease in velo for the closer, Prawn, who had a 1-2 count. Those were unusual moves, but he says he's made them multiple times. He says, I've done that a lot. It's unusual coaching to do that. I don't think I have ever seen a pitcher taken out in a game with a 1-2 count if it wasn't an injury. So that may be a first for me.
Well, I've done that also. in my life.
I've seen plenty of guys taken out during counts, but one and two, you know, in a tie game.
Well, count was one and one, I think, on this batter. It was the guy that played for the Chicago Cubs in Wichita. I can't remember his name right now. I think last name starts with an A. But anyway, he was a left-handed batter. We had a right-handed pitcher in there, and it was ninth inning. They had first and second, and the guy just got on base. The second man on base was the walk, and I had somebody warming up, and it was Brady Wright. You remember him?
I remember Brady.
Well, he was warming up in the bullpen, and the pitcher went strike, a foul back, and the batter was right on the money. And like I said, he played for the Cubs like a year or two before, and he played in the big league several years. So you knew you were trying to get a big league hitter out. And I just thought Brady Wright would be a better matchup with him. And so I took him out with a 1-1 count, and my pitcher didn't like it at all to be taken out. And I understood. Because
what competitor would?
You're a competitor, and you got to even count on him. But in that opinion, I thought it would be best for our ball club to bring in Brady in that situation. Brady got out of it, and we won it, that bottom of that inning. And maybe the pitcher I had on the mound would have gotten out of it. You know, you don't know he wouldn't, but he's the one they had two men on base against. You know, he'd give up two base runners in that inning, so... You got to know that in a tie game, ninth inning, I'm going to do whatever I think I can to win. I'm not going to second guess myself and say, well, I should have brought him in. No, you don't do it that way. So I know what Lance Rhodes, you know, baseball is so much. A lot of guys, when they play for me, they were playing right on through college, and then they go on to become coaches somewhere. And invariably, the same question they would ask me before they took a job at Cape Central or just some junior college or something. What is your best advice for me? And I told everyone, best advice is always put the best players in your mind on the field. And another best advice I will give you to match with that one is go with your hunch. Because you play this game, you're a coach. Most of the time, your hunch is going to be right. So go with your hunch. If you got a hunch about a player, put him in there. If you want to take somebody out, you got a hunch you should, do it. And that's the way I always manage. So I can understand Lance Rhodes completely on what he did.
So the television ratings, Jess, the women's game, South Carolina, Iowa, a record 18.9 million viewers. There were more viewers for the women's championship than the men's for the first time ever. The men, 14.8 million. The women, 18.9. And the 14.8, a slight increase over last year for the men, 14.6. The overall men's tournament, average 9.9 million viewers, so 10 million viewers averaged across all windows. That's a 3% increase from last year. So the interest level in college basketball in the NCAA tournaments, men and women, good. Women, all-time high.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest about it. Women's basketball is simply better than it's ever been in history. And I think Caitlin Clark has something to do with that.
She's a massive part of it. I think women's basketball probably peaked. They're not going to get 18.9 next year because Clark is gone.
And a lot of people tune in just to see her.
Yes.
Let's be honest about that, because they didn't. It's a mystifying thing when one player is just head and shoulders better than the field. And Clark was, especially on the shooting end of it, an assist. So people tune in to see, can this one person propel them to a victory over a better team? And she almost did. And that little idea of wondering if she could do that would get a lot of people watching. And I've sat there and watched the whole game myself. I enjoyed it. They play good basketball, Eric. Women's basketball is not like it was 20 years ago. And the main reason it is because years ago, girls in school had to practice being in the band or being a cheerleader or something like that. They didn't have the possibility of being ball players. Now, it's more than 20 years ago that they started. But what I'm saying is girls at young ages, like 8 or 9, 10, they're not playing basketball, used to. They're doing other things. But since girls have been in sports, now they start playing and competing at a young age. And that's why they're getting so much better. They're climbing up the ladders just like men will. I think fundamentally, I've said this for years, women play the game below the basket. And what I mean by that, there's no dunking them out to anything. They play the game. They have to make good passes. They have to make good shots more than the men. The men drive to the hoop and slam it through. They play above the rim. So to me, fundamentally, that's all I'm talking about now is fundamentals. Women can't compete with men on a basketball court. Don't get me wrong. Women play a more fundamentally sound game. I've thought that for years as far as passing, blocking out, the fundamental parts of the game, they have to, and they do.
So the number one prospect in baseball is Jackson Holliday, Matt Holliday's son for Baltimore. Many Orioles fans were mad he didn't make the big club. He just raked in the spring. Well, Jess, he just got called up, and he got called into the AAA manager's office, and they had the cameras rolling. Here's Jackson Holliday this morning getting word that he's going to the big leagues.
Jax, what's up, brother? What's up? First, I just want to commend you for how you've gone about your business down here, dude. Like, that's not easy to do. You kind of carry yourself with a chip on your shoulder. And I think these guys, they notice it, and they feed off of it. Mm-hmm. All right? So keep doing what you're doing. All right? It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of time. Has your dad been in town? They haven't come in? Oh, shit. All right.
My brother's right in the middle of his season.
He's in his season?
Yeah.
Okay. He's probably a great resource for you, right? I'm mm-hmm. sure that you guys are tight. Yeah. He's giving you good advice. Mm-hmm. And all those times that you've been in the locker room and stuff, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So for tomorrow, mm-hmm. trying to get guys out early.
Okay.
First, tonight, I want you to call your dad. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk to him. And I want you to thank him for all the times that he's allowed you to come to the clubhouse, mm-hmm. be on his pass list, you know, let you hit with the big boys. That's pretty special, and it plays into a lot of what you're about. The second thing I want you to tell him is that now it's time for him to ask permission to be on Jackson Holliday's pass list because you're going to the big leagues.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's
all right.
Awesome.
I'm fired up.
I appreciate it.
You've been exceptional down here. Your brother, be 20 years old.
I appreciate it.
Handle all this stuff,
that's
dude.
That's awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Call your dad.
I will.
Good stuff.
I think the guy telling him that got more enjoyment out of it than Jackson. Well, he's my pick to be Rookie of the Year, if you roll back the tape. And I knew he was going to start the year in the minor leagues, but I think he'll come up and be just a good ball player. Now, whether he wins Rookie of the Year, just no anybody's guess, but I think he's an outstanding talent. And
can't wait to watch this guy go.
It'd be bad if I was right on both rookies of the year, wouldn't it?
We'll see. All right, you know what today is.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
All right, hump day. Jess, hello to the radiant and ravishing Dawn Sean. Man, she was such an awesome assistant last night at the game, helping it fill out the scorecards, helping me with all kinds of stuff at the game. Appreciate that. She even loaded up the equipment when I was talking to Lance Rhodes after the game. So she's got the day off today, and thank her for her. It is Wednesday Wisdom.
It is, and I want to say hi to my girls, too, in Texas, Columbia, and the Neva here in town, and my boys running around in this area somewhere. This is stuff you might need to get a pencil and paper and write this down, because it's going to be important to you the rest of your life. Did you know that the face of a penny can hold 30 drops of water? Now, I don't believe that. Do you? The face of a penny.
Yes, I believe it.
Hold 30 drops of water?
I've seen a video online of them putting 30 drops of
you
water.
You have, yeah.
They
right.
do.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Well, Google it when you get off the air.
Well, listen, it's my time right now with this information people need to have, so should be quiet. I started to say shut up, but that doesn't sound good. In Helsinki, Finland, instead of giving parking tickets, the police usually just deflate the tires. Which would you rather have, four flats or a ticket? I just about
give me the ticket, man.
I just
leave my tires alone.
I have the ticket. So anyway, that's
I'm the one who's in charge of changing the air in my tires. You got to change that air every once in a while, man. It gets stale.
Well, here's another one too. Since we're just going to go way over. The Netherlands has the most bicycles in the world. I agree to that. Every time you see them, in that country, in a movie, everybody's riding bicycles. So,
12:15 first pitch today. Lance Lynn, Aaron Nola, Cardinals will try to win the series. Jess, you want to reconvene tomorrow?
Give it a shot.
All right. Stay tuned. Greeny's coming up. Enjoy your hump day, everybody.